Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and good evening. This is Joelle and I am the Vibrarian, and you are here for the conversation that I like to call the Psychic Inside Show. I am here on Tuesdays having these wonderful conversations with amazing people from all over the world, really. And the whole goal is that we are all psychic and we may not realize it. And so during this show, I talk with people who stepped into an awareness about their life that there's been something a little bit different about it. And so we're here to have a conversation to see what those journeys look like and share in this experience together, because we are all traversing very new ground. Now, I'm here on the Blog Talk Radio Network as part of the Vibrate Collective Network. You can call this show at 646-787-8436. If you would like to ask a question of a guest at any time during the show, please just hit the pound or hashtag one key. That lets me know that you want to come on the air. And there is a chat room that is on the Blog Talk page, so I do monitor that. If you have any questions there, I will definitely see them and we'll pull them on the air. And I'm also posting all of these shows and episodes across all of the channels. We've got the Vibrary YouTube channel. And, of course, you can subscribe to this podcast on all the podcast platforms, Amazon Music, iTunes, Google Play, I think. I'll have to check on that one. But anyway, you can find these shows to catch at the right moment, at the right time for you. Please do connect with me. I'm at The Vibrarian. That's my handle, and that's THEVIBERARIAN. And that E stands for energy, elevate, enlighten, empower, all of those things that I am about trying to do for myself and then spreading that energy to others through all of those things that I do. Please do connect me, and if you would like to come on a future episode of the Psychic Inside Show, please send an email, put a message wherever you're happening to hear this. Please just drop a line to me and let me know. I'd love to get on and talk with you. So without further ado, I want to talk a little bit about my guest this evening. So I'm a YouTuber. I love YouTube. I think it's a beautiful platform and a place where you can really learn about the most unusual things and connect with people. Of course, we've all spent hours down the YouTube rabbit hole, but quite honestly, it's one of my favorite places to go and be informed and to go and learn and connect with people. And so a couple years ago, I think it's a couple years ago now, because in 2018, I was traveling in Mexico in Playa del Carmen. One of the things that I love to do is look at the street art, because it's really amazing. So I had taken some pictures of some street art and then posted them to my blog on my website. And one of the pictures was this big picture of like Poseidon coming like out of the waves with this three-dimensional trident, right? And so I took a picture of it. I thought it was amazing. I love all things watery and all of that. But this image stuck in my head. And wouldn't you know, like the day after I posted that to my blog, a new channel popped up in my suggestions. And the name of that channel was King Trident's Tribe. Now, I don't believe there are anything that is random or coincidental. So when I see a trident 2 days in a row, that's not your everyday word that you would say in conversation or even see. And so I, of course, decided to tap in and see what is this gentleman talking about. He said, I'm a divine masculine. His face was like all shiny and, you know, just positive and happy. And I said, let me check out what this gentleman is talking about. And so in the last couple years, I have been subscribed to King Trident's Tribe. And the force behind that is my guest tonight. And his name is Matt Fortson. Matt, welcome to the Psychic Inside Show.
Thank you, Joelle. It's my pleasure. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm grateful for this opportunity.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is so amazing, because each of us are out here speaking our truth. Now, when you first came on, I didn't see you saying anything about psychics, right? And so whenever I have this show and we talk about the psychic inside, you know, some people are a little uncomfortable with that terminology. Do you consider yourself to be a psychic?
I'm not really, I don't know if I really know if I'm psychic. I would say that I've leaned more towards mystic. That's just because I rely on my intuition. There's a quote by Dr. Wayne Dyer that says, if prayer is us talking to God, then our intuition is God talking to us. I relate with some of the clairs. All of my messages that I do on my YouTube channel, I get from music. So the tunes of the music actually help me write the messages. And your thoughts is if you can relate to the clairs, which I believe that everybody can, I just think that some people choose to block them out. I know that I've had this ability ever since I was a kid, but I didn't know how to regulate, or I didn't know how to use these abilities, and they were a little bit overwhelming. So instead of just block them out. And so,
So when you were young, so let's talk like grade school time, or when did you first begin to experience some challenges and realize that you were experiencing life a little differently?
The time that I can, I can remember, I have memories back whenever I was like a little kid, whenever I say a little kid, I mean like probably barely walking, crib days. I would say that the time that I remember having that ability was probably when one of my grandfathers passed away, and I swear he was like in my room. It was pretty scary. So I remember at that moment blocking it out. After that one incident, I was just like, I'm pretty sure that I was able to see like other like spirits or whatever. But I ended up blocking it out. I don't remember exactly, and probably don't even know what I was actually seeing. But I do remember the one incident that I had when my grandfather passed away, and that right there just kind of got me to the point where I just didn't want to deal with that anymore.
You know, that's not an uncommon thing, is that I hear repeatedly people say that either A, due to the fact that their family didn't quite know how to provide support to them as children when they were kind of either highly sensitive or extrasensory, or when they got into school age, that the pressure of conforming to be a regular kid then also caused them to turn off this extra conversation that they were having. So I'm not surprised that you say that at all. Now,
yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think the other part is that you didn't, as a kid, you don't want to be known as different. And so that was probably another reason why. And, not many people know how to, well, at least where I grew up, talk about those types of things. And there's probably many reasons other than the fact that I was probably scared of these abilities, and at some point thought I was like crazy or whatever. But the other thing is just you don't want to be known as different either.
Right. A lot of pressure. It used to be thankfully, we're kind of emerging into a time where unique and different is actually honored better than it was, I think, when I was growing up and maybe when you were growing up as well. Now, you are clearly from the South because, you know, your accent, of course, gives you away.
Yeah.
And so it's quite interesting to experience you when you're teaching and sharing on your channel, because it is not the typical conversation that one would think. And, of course, that's stereotypical, of course. But, you know, I was just surprised because when I started checking your channel out, you were talking about very, very naked emotions and raw kind of experiences, and you shared about your dark night of the soul. For those of our listeners who don't like know what or understand what a dark night of the soul looks like, would you share a little bit about what yours was like?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of my messages on YouTube are dealing with twin flames. And I know a lot of people probably don't, maybe not know what a twin flame is. And I used to not know that either, because I used to think twin flames and soulmates were the same thing. However, jumping forward to your question. So after my separation with my divine feminine, I got to a point where there was a lot of things, like a cascading effect of like what if you watch the tarot card readers, they'll call it like the tower moment or whatever. It's whenever everything is just starting to crumble to the ground, and it's like, what, you know, one thing after another starts going wrong. So you know, I was in the middle of selling my house due to a divorce, and you know, at that time it was, and it still is right now, but you know, it was a seller's market, and, you know, I had an offer, like, within 24 hours on my house. Well, it was like I went through four sellers before I finally sold, and this is in a two-month period. Now, that's, this is just one thing. So I had, you know, I had went already and started renting another place and started trying to transition into – moving out of that house and moving into the new rental that I purchased. And at the same time, like I was just like stretched, like money wise, between that house and my new rental. And there was all these, like, I have like all these different like bills and like stuff. And then, and it was just like, it got to a point where basically I started having like, I would wake up with a racing heart. I would wake up in sweats. I would have these like vivid, like, dreams. They were not good. You know, and I would, and I would have like spiritual, like where there is like, these, bad energies around me. And I would just remember one thing off the top of my head that was very clear to me was, I would wake up and my cell phone, you know, would just be like, just drop on the floor, like in the middle of my floor. Like, it wasn't like it just fell off my nightstand. It was clearly like taken off of there and just dropped in the middle of the floor. And I thought I was like going, I thought again, I was going crazy. So if when I go to bed, I would strategically place things around my phone because I was like, I don't want it to fall off, you know? And I was like, I wanted to see, like, I was like, am I just going crazy? What's going on? But no matter what I put around that phone, it would still end up dropping on the floor. And and so, you know, and I had a few other, you know, incidents. Like one time, right during that time frame. So this was like roughly, I was going through this dark night of the soul between, I would say, it probably began around May, and then it didn't end until like the first or second week of August, I think, of that year. So it was a good span of a few months. And basically what was going on was like all these things that were no longer like served my purpose were crumbling to the ground. And at that time, what was happening also was, you know, Spirit was saying, you know, hey, we're giving you an opportunity to listen. Do you want to listen? Do you want to, or, you know, and I had this one dream I remember where it was like this, something was holding a branch. And it was just like, you would see like one splinter at a time, like just popping up, and it was like bending it. And it was like, not, it wasn't broken yet, but it was like one splinter at a time was popping up. And basically what I was saying is, you know, if you're not going to, if you're not going to listen, then eventually you're going to be broken. And so I remember basically praying. I was like, what do you want me to do, God? And, you know, I'm like, whatever it is, I will do it. I'm like, I was tired of having like these panic attacks. I'm not a person that traditionally had anxiety. I've never taken any kind of medications for anxiety or anything like that. Very calm. I meditated a lot, still very calm. But at that time, it was, the Spirit was really trying to get my attention. And I went through that experience, and finally whenever I prayed and listened, and then I found another spiritual teacher that helped me with getting me to the point of what I needed to concentrate on. And then I started learning more about the archangels, and I started talking to especially Archangel Michael. But then eventually I started relating more with Archangel Raphael, because Archangel Raphael is a master healer. And and part of my journey here on Mother Gaia is that I have a healing ability. And whenever I say healing ability, it doesn't mean that I'm going to cure you of cancer or anything like that, or, you know, but I have the ability to heal through my messages. Yeah. And a lot of people really feel relieved whenever they listen to my messages, and I help people in different ways of understanding. So basically I bring clarity to them, and this is where I relate more as being a mystic, is because, you know, I use my direct connection with the divine to be able to explain things that a lot of people don't understand here on Mother Gaia.
That's a great way of putting it, explaining it, and looking at it as terms of your work and your experience. It's so interesting because, excuse me, as I've listened to your messages, you are really in very short modules. There's nothing super lengthy, but you teach like really solid, healthy relationships with a spiritual context. You know, you talk about being a joker versus being a queen, a king, right? Joker status. Developing boundaries, different types of behavior patterns. I mean, like, I've watched your conversation evolve over the period of time that I've been subscribed to you, but it's always been very, like, little pills, like a little vitamin, so to speak, where you're teaching. And so let me back up just a little bit. When you experienced your dark night, so had you already met your twin and gone into a separation period, or was this prior to you meeting your twin?
It was probably roughly a year after I met my twin.
Okay. And had you triggered out of the bugbull phase by that point in time? Was that part of the dark night, was the separation?
Yeah. Part of that was to basically dissolve my attention from just being so, in like, I would say, concentrating, on my twin. And basically what the divine was wanting me to do is for one thing, I was doing inner work, but I wasn't going at the speed that they wanted me to go in. I was in a very snail like pace. And and part of that was because a lot of my concentration was on my twin and not on myself. And I needed to evolve at a faster pace, because there was other things that they wanted me to do, but I couldn't do them until I evolve myself.
Right.
And, that goes. So I guess my channel kind of is a direct reflection of me. As you can see, like if you go onto my channel, you can see how over the time period it's evolved, depending on what it is. Because a lot of times, like the messages that I do is just one minute I'm doing something to do with relationships, or I'm doing something with, like, let's say if somebody is ghosting you, breadcrumbing you, or mm-hmm. I might end up doing one on twin flames, depending on it. Just it really just depends. And a lot sometimes it's questions from my subscribers, and then other times it's just I'll be sitting there, you know, and the next thing I know it, this message just popped mm-hmm. in my head. It was just like, it's just like, hey, do this. And so then mm-hmm. I have on my phone, I actually have on my notepad, I sit there and jot all this stuff, like not the whole message, but I jot down like the title or whatever it is that they want me to do. And then I refer back to it whenever I get to a point of doing the message. And that's exactly how I do, because I do daily quotes, and mm-hmm. And those are, I get those also from music, and a lot of times I'll just be sitting there, and the next thing I know, this quote just comes in my head, and mm-hmm. I write it down real quick, because if I don't, then I'll forget it.
Right.
Right. But yeah, that's exactly what happens, and so going back to my Darknet Soul, yeah. I wasn't evolving at the pace they wanted me to evolve at, and they wanted me to reduce my concentration from my twin and concentrate on myself and my inner work so that I could start moving into the healing and spiritual realm of helping others.
Right. And so I'm assuming you were also having then healing yourself as opportunities for you to see your woundedness were presented.
Absolutely, yeah. So I had basically a look. It was like looking at myself in a mirror on a daily basis and basically accepting all the things that I've seen, taking responsibility for those things, and then working on them on a daily basis. And I think, you know, whenever I talk about being a healer, by me doing that, it actually helps other people heal too. Because
mm-hmm.
Whenever I use some of those experiences, I'm on my channel, I'm very vulnerable, you know, there's sometimes where I'm less vulnerable about certain things, just for privacy purposes.
Right.
But for the most part, I'm very vulnerable about things and talk about, like you said, raw emotions, different experiences that a lot of people would just probably, some people might not understand, and then others can relate with it, but. You know, my whole goal whenever I started my channel was if I can help one person, then I've done my job.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you definitely dropped some gems on me, so your job is working good for you.
Oh, I'm so appreciative of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you never know when you put something out in public forum. We all look, you know, at likes and stats and views and shares to a degree, but those don't tell you if it really helped the person who saw it. So when you can hear from somebody directly who reaches out and says, you know what, that word that you said and when you shared this, that, or the other, it just really touched me and I realized I wasn't such a big fat loser. You know what I'm saying? One thing you've been very transparent is like you own your behaviors. Like when you've shared about your relationships and the mistakes that you own, that you say you own, you're very like forthcoming about that. It's not ever like others, you're just like, I was such and such, and I was not in this energy, and I needed to do, you know, you use a lot of I statements, which is very, very, it's a good ideal to have, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so a lot of times, you know, I wasn't that way in the past, but, you know, whenever I talk about the past, I mean, like, before I started my spiritual awakening, I wasn't that way, and I was more in my ego. But then whenever I began my spiritual awakening, then I started learning, you know, Nobody, you cannot heal yourself without taking responsibility for your actions. And it was very clear whenever I was going through, especially I remember when I was going through my dark night of the soul, that, you hear people talk about, like, from a religious state, some people, they believe that, like, whenever you go to heaven, you have a life review. Well, I was having a life review on Earth. And it was like, because then I was like, well, what about, when I'd have dreams or whenever, it'd be like, what about this? What about that? You know, and it was just like, okay, so now I have to, it was one of the things that I had to learn was that you need to reflect on yourself, not deflect on your twin, because a lot of times that's what happens. And this is with you, I see this all the time. I have so many hours of like just spending it, looking at my comments and doing emails where people are just like, well, my DF did this or my DM did that, you know? Well, I'm like, well, what part do you want in this? You know? And I'm like, because the only thing you can change is yourself. You can't change other people, you know? You can't change other people unless they want to change.
Right.
You know, you can drop words of wisdom, but until they're willing to accept that and look at themselves in the mirror, nothing is going to change. And so I had to own all of my mistakes and basically go through my life review of every single thing that I've done and own up to it. And so that's, I think that's something that, everybody needs to do. And instead of looking at what other people are doing, just concentrate on what you're doing.
Right. Well, I was thinking as you said that it kind of transitions from you look at everything you've done, but then you adopt a habit of looking at everything you're currently doing and being accountable in the moment instead of in retrospect. Like once you switch on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of related to this. You can't help somebody else if you're not able to help yourself. The other thing is how are you going to help? It's like if you have a job somewhere and, let's say, you're a manager and you're managing people. Well, and you ask them to do a task. Well, how are you going to ask them to do a task if you've never done the task? For instance, like if you were asking that person to take the garbage out, well, why are you going to ask them to do it if you don't even know how to take the garbage out yourself? By me walking in, the shoes of, different experiences, it's helped me help other people. And then also it builds trust from other people too, because I share those same experiences with everyone.
Yeah, it was like a club, right? The Dark Night of the Soul Club.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all human. Nobody's perfect. And we're all, hopefully we get to the point where we're all trying to evolve to better ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully I'll be able to have you on for another conversation about twin flame talk, because that's like a whole other thing that we could really crack open and share from our journey, as I'm also on twin flame path myself. But speaking in terms of the supernatural part or this clairs part, did you have an onset of any clairs in the dynamic with you and your twin, or were you experiencing like any kind of spiritual awareness that she was coming or was in that she was something different when you began to date her?
So whenever I met my twin, I knew nothing about twin flames or nothing about soulmates. I thought they were, like I said, I thought they were the same thing. I do remember whenever I met my twin and I looked her in the eyes, I knew that there was like an instant connection. It was just like my soul was jumping out of my body to try to like basically hug her or whatever. I don't know, or hug her soul. I mean, it was just like, it was just like this pool. And so I knew at that time there was something special about her, although at the time I was like, I wasn't evolved to the point where I knew exactly what twin flames were or anything about that. So you know, I was still transitioning from my ego to listening to more of my intuition. But I knew there was something special, but I thought there at that time that it was just that we had an instant connection or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know that she was my twin.
How did that awareness then take place?
It happened. I didn't know that until after we went into separation. So probably about 6 months afterwards, then I started having these different dreams, and then I had these different things on from like things I've never searched for in my life on YouTube pop up, these different videos about
mm-hmm.
twin flames and stuff, and I started listening to them because they were kind of, it was like almost like I was like unavoidable. I was like
mm-hmm.
I don't know why these things keep popping up, but the one thing I did believe during at that time was nothing's coincidence. And
mm-hmm.
So I had those videos, and I had different synchronicities pop up. Like I would have like different numbers would like during the day I would see like 222 or 333.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, let's see, going back before I met my twin, both of my parents passed away within 5 days of each other. About a year before I met my twin. So my mom passed away on Valentine's Day, and my dad passed away 5 days later. That was one of my spiritual awakenings happened due to that experience.
Okay,
alone.
Yeah.
So then I had an experience, let's see, roughly around May of that same year. It was May or June, I can't remember. But anyway, I had an experience where I woke up to this like this knocking sound on my wall, and it was like three knocks in a row in a sequence of three. So it was like knock, 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 and then stop, knock, 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 stop,
mm-hmm.
knock, 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 stop. But anyway, you know, and then I had a friend that's very, has a lot of abilities, and she was
mm-hmm.
like, I had a dream, and I could see your dad, you know, just standing on the side, and he was smiling, and he was basically knocking on the wall. And then whenever
mm-hmm.
then she gave me, she sent me these, because angels, they speak to you in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sent me this website that translates the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I knew because whenever you hear threes is just letting you know that the ascended masters are around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so basically I think what it was he was trying to bring me comfort and let me know that I'm on the right path and that the ascended masters are around me supporting me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's where I started really fully trusting in the synchronicities of numbers. And
mm-hmm.
So after my separation with my twin, I started having even more of those numbers pop up at like random places. Like I would look at my phone and it would be 333, or I would
mm-hmm.
go driving down the road and the next thing you know, there's 333 on the billboard, or there'd be, you know, it's just random things. And then like, you know, I would go to a place and there'd be like a white feather laying there
mm-hmm.
where there's no birds clearly around or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would know that the, you know, angels are trying to tell me something. And then I started concentrating on more of being more consciously aware of what is it that they're trying to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that, you know, meditation helped me a lot with being able to know that, and also it helped me with telepathy with my twin.
Okay, so you did experience that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, yep. was your twin aware of the, like, did you all telepathically talk to each other on purpose, or was it kind of accidental, like you could hear her?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I could, I didn't find that out until after we had separated. We weren't talking at all. It happened like whenever I first time I remember being able to do that was whenever I was meditating. And then whenever I ran into, like I said before, when I ran into a spiritual advisor that I ran into, she was telling me that basically what I was hearing was telepathy with her higher self.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, I started trusting in what I was hearing and working on those abilities.
So it's so interesting because this, I hear so many parallels, of course, with my own situation. Like, if you never believed in anything supernatural before, when you activate to the twin flame experience of ascension, it definitely changes your perception about connection, communication. You know, there's just a lot of what we call supernatural things that happen that kind of are the calling cards of this unusual type of mission, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember without knowing anything about telepathy at a time whenever I was when I was around my twin, I do remember that we had a lot of coincidental things, like we would be thinking the same thing at the same time, or I would call her at the same time she was trying to call me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of times where there is things that you could say is coincidental, but it was so often that it wasn't coincidence.
Right.
Whenever I started learning about telepathy, then I was like, oh, well, that actually makes a lot of sense now.
Right. That explains it.
Yeah, it was an aha moment.
Right. Well, you know what's one thing that is so very interesting is that when your channel came up, there were so few divine masculines in the YouTube teacher space, right? A lot of divine feminines, like 80-something% divine feminines. There's a few couples sprinkled out there that are doing their stuff together, but the divine masculines are much more infrequent. And so what I've observed over my many years in community is when a masculine pops up and starts to say something, then there's such a thirst for a masculine who is expressing the supernatural part about twin flame stuff, an awakened masculine who's not in denial about it. There's not that many voices out there. And so I think I saw your subscriber, like you had a real strong like emergence where everybody was just piling on board, and I could see in the comments,
yeah.
It was like, on a level, it makes my heart hurt a little bit because I see how much need there is for some kind of validation from the masculine perspective that, yes, this is real, and, yes, there are awakened masculines. It gives so many women hope who are going through a dynamic that may not seem like it's an awakened experience for them. Did you find when you first did you expect your experience when you turned on your YouTube light?
Let me go back how that started. So whenever I was talking with my spiritual advisor, which works very closely with Archangel Michael, and Archangel Michael oversees the twin flames.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he communicated to her was that I needed to resurrect my YouTube channel. At that time, I think I might have had like one or two subscribers, and I didn't have very many videos on there, if any. I can't remember. But it was Not very many. It might have been one or two videos. But she told me that, and I was just like, she's like, you're going to have a lot of success. You're going to have like thousands of people you're going to have thousands of subscribers. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, have you seen my YouTube channel? Like, I've only got like 2 subscribers. I'm like, and so I really just didn't think anything about it. And I really didn't think that I was going to have that many subscribers, to be honest. And so then I started doing videos. I didn't really even know what I was going to do videos on. And I was still evolving to the point where I was like really unsure. And I felt like I didn't want to be really vulnerable. And I was just like, I don't know what I should share and what I shouldn't share, or like what I should even do a video on. And so I eventually got to the point where I learned whenever I turned on music, I would get like these messages.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, like, I was still trying to figure out, like, should I write them down, or should I, mm-hmm. I was just, like, second-guessing, doing a lot of second-guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Fumbling around, and finally, I went and got a notebook, and I still do this to this day. Because I write all my messages on white computer paper,
mm-hmm.
and I use Crayola markers.
I've seen you pulling your papers around.
Yeah, I hold them up so people can see. I'm like, I turn the music on, and then the next thing I know, I just start writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't second guess the message. I just write. Don't
mm-hmm.
worry about editing. Don't worry about anything other than getting the words down. And so whenever I did that, and I think, I don't remember how many, I think it was maybe I did like 2 videos, and the next thing I know, I think it was either my second or third video, I can't remember, but it might have been the first, I don't remember, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was not very many videos, and the next thing I know it, I'm like, there's all these viewers and subscribers coming, and, you know, overnight it was just, I just got so many people and so many messages, and it was a little bit overwhelming, but I was happy, but I was like, wow. And like, I would get like my emails would just like be a lot of emails, a lot of comments. And one of the things that I pride myself in is responding to every single comment. And it was really tough to be able to do that. But I'm pretty sure that, I'm over 95% that I responded to almost every single comment. And
mm-hmm.
I really love that, because the comments, I always tell people the comments, even though I love the comments, I love reading the comments and I love responding to comments, the comments actually help other people. And
mm-hmm.
when they read and they see that, hey, I'm experiencing the same thing, and it gives them a platform to be able to ask questions and for a community to be able to respond to those comments, not just me responding to those comments, but share their experiences too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like definitely a community, your tribe that you are, you know, having these conversations without in your public spaces. How did you
uh-huh.
come to be King Trident? Where did that come from?
So, it was around the same time that my spiritual advisor, you know, told me that I should be resurrecting my YouTube channel. So I was like, what do I need? I don't even know what I want to like. I can't remember. I think my YouTube channel was named something totally different. And I was like, well, I can't have that name. I'm like, what name should I name? And then I was like going through like, you know, meditating, and I was listening to like these, I don't know, messages coming through. And, one of the things that I feel confidently about is, Yeah, I've lost my train of thought. But the bottom line is I got to the point where basically I'm a double water sign. Okay. I'm a Cancer and a Scorpio. And so and a Leo. I'm a Leo rising. And
all
so,
right.
So Leo was the king of the jungle. So then I was like, mm-hmm. king. And then Trident was for the double water signs. And mm-hmm. then tribe was everybody that was around me.
Right.
And so then I was like, King Trident's tribe. So,
wow.
So that's how it came about. And I always try to explain that to people because I don't want them to think that I'm naming myself a king or anything like that. It just so happened that was what I came up with due to the fact of my birth chart. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And then I was going to say one other thing. So, oh, yeah, King Poseidon. So, and I feel really confident, like, of that somehow, like, I have known King Poseidon before.
Mm-hmm.
And so so his trident, like, came up in, like, some of my visuals. And that just helped me with that part of the name, too, because I was like, well, that I'm like, that's a name also that a lot of people don't have, but maybe a lot of people can resonate with it. And
mm-hmm.
and so anyway, that's how I came about with the name King Trident's Tribe.
Well, I love it because it's also from my perspective and understanding, many of those who are on the twin flame experience in previous incarnations. From other, of course, planetary starseed lineages. A lot of us were in aquatic form in some of our very first incarnations on this planet. So whether you mm-hmm. want to call it mermaidian, mentakin, I mean, there's so many, like, words for it. But to take back to that, like, pre-Lemuria aquatic beings, that might be where your familiarity is coming from, is because we've been doing this. And you wouldn't be the first TF that I've spoken with, and myself as well, who have had aquatic-centered lifetimes on this planet.
Absolutely, yeah. And I resonate highly with water. Actually, you know, I gain a lot of energy from being around water, which, you know, a lot of times people would say that's why, you know, you're a water sign, so you naturally are around water, but and that's why you get energy from that. But either way, I feel very comfortable being around water, and you know it's kind of just gives me energy. Along with and I know a lot of people always think I'm different for this, but you know I like being in heat, and I like whenever it's like a you know I personally don't mind being in 90 degree weather. And I know that, so I feel, it's almost like I get energy from the sun too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really, really like that. And I really like the water, and, you know, both of those things just bring me peace and energy.
Well, I love that because here you have the balance of the masculine and feminine, like the solar and then the emotional waters. And one of the things that the Twin Flame Templates is here is to bring in the energy of the unified masculine and feminine being within yourself. So mm-hmm. what that means is that as a masculine, you need to be fully processing and in touch with your feminine aspect or emotional waters. And as a feminine, then you need to be fully empowered into your electric achievement masculine energy within yourself. So you have two water signs, you know, surrounding this masculine, and you've been living then the new template of the new emotionally balanced masculine. And I think that's like so exciting to see you integrated and living.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's one of the things that, you know, you learn going through the twin flame journey is that we all have masculine and feminine within us. You know, it's an energy. It's not, you know, a lot of times it's a lot easier for, you know, when we explain it by talking in physical forms, but it's not physical. It's actually energy that we're talking about. And mm-hmm. Whenever you learn, whenever you become balanced, you do your inner work and you become balanced, then you're able to go in and out between your masculine and feminine energy depending on the situation. Because
mm-hmm.
each situation is different, and sometimes you need to be more in your feminine energy and more time. Sometimes you need to be more in your masculine energy. But having the ability to be able to switch between the two because you're so balanced is,
yes.
is really a gift.
It really is. That's and it's like we have so much support. As you said, your guides and ascended masters and angels, it's like we have so much support to stabilize us, right? To shore us up when we feel wavery. And like you said, coming into the meditation, the still point of yourself is where those conversations happen. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I really am a very appreciative of the journey. It's helped me help other people, other
yeah.
humans. And that's how I look at it. We're humans. We're part of humanity. And, you know, I feel really grateful to have the opportunity to be able to help so many people.
And out of your clients, so are you encountering and coaching other masculines? Are you seeing a difference in the last couple years in the clientele that you are working with?
So I would say that, so when I first started out, started my YouTube channel, I would say probably 99%, but not maybe not 100, because I have analytics on my YouTube, so I'm able to see that kind of information. So I had primarily feminines were attracted to my channel. And, you know, as of today, I've seen that decrease, even though it's still in the 90s, but I've seen an uptick in masculines. Probably about 5% of my channel now is followed by masculines.
Okay.
And so I've seen it grow with masculines, you know, being attracted to my channel and subscribing to my channel. And I've also had a lot more emails from masculines. As of this day, I still have primarily mostly feminine are my clientele.
Mm-hmm. And beyond your YouTube, you also provide coaching sessions like on an ongoing basis, right? For people who want to like work through something. What kind of services are you offering?
So I do offer coaching sessions. Part of the coaching sessions, because people ask me, like, you know, what to expect or whatever. And so what I tell them is, you know, I would like a paragraph, two max, of kind of just your details of what you're wanting to work through. You know, you're kind of giving me a breakdown of your situation and what you're trying to achieve. And then I go within before the session, and I arrange a message from the angels of what they want them to know. And
mm-hmm.
And then I provide that during our session. And then also they're able to ask questions, and we're able to talk about different other situations that maybe they didn't put into the email pending time. But, I've helped a lot of people from many different countries other than the United
mm-hmm.
States. And I continue to do that to this day. And one of the things that I've been really slow at is designing a website. And so that way that people can put their tutorials or, you know, they can share like their experiences with me so that other people can see that. You know, sometimes I, I have to really concentrate on myself because I have a I used to have a big tendency to overdo it, like energy wise, and I would just go because it was so exciting to me because I was like it was like I was stepping into this new experience of being able to help people, but then I would get to the point where I would just crash, where I was just like drained, and I couldn't do it, and then I was like try to do YouTube videos and I would have these technical difficulties. It was like, you're not in the right energy. You can't do these videos. And so I had, that was a lesson that I had to learn. And I had to learn how to, one of the things I had to do was pick and choose who I helped. And I know this kind of sounds kind of bad, but pick and choose who to help, because you can't help every single person. And you need to be able to, put your energy to those that needs it the most, I guess, that you can help. And I try to help every single person. And I answer every single email that I get, no matter if they're a paying client or not. I answer every single email. I answer every single comment on my YouTube channel. I just really sometimes it might take me a little bit longer because, you know, obviously paying clients come first, but then also I have to make sure that I'm in the right energy to be able to do that, because after going through a few sessions or emails or comments, and, you know, I'm the only one doing all of this stuff. And I recently started doing podcasts. So now I'm on SoundCloud, Pandora, Amazon. So doing all of that stuff myself, and then, you know, at the same time, you know, I have a job other than this too. So it's just, you have to really balance yourself, and, you really have to, be really consciously aware of not only other people, but yourself.
It's a whole new ball game when you step into healing work of any type, right? Because it's, I mean, that's, think about it. That's healing the body, mind, and soul is such a precious thing, right? Because so much injury and harm and woundedness. But just like a doctor in the hospital works like years and years of school and, you know, pays the price and pays the toll of being on call and doing, you know what I'm saying, like all those things that prepare them to be able to be a clutch healer and do surgery at the time, they have to learn how to manage that energy. It's the same thing for light workers, and many people don't necessarily realize that they're empathy drained, right? Because reading people's stories, if you're reading people's comments, that's one experience. But if you're taking the time to read all of the emails that people are pouring out to you, you cannot help but feel a connection of their experience when you read what they have chosen to share with you, a stranger that they only know from the internet. You know, there is actually an emotional exchange in that A, that you're hearing them is valuable, even if they don't become paying clients, right? But like you said, the tax on that, when you've read 10 stories that just are really hurtful or tragic or challenging, and you're trying to figure out, okay, what do I have capacity for? You know, but that's where self-care is the active lesson that we learn.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, for me, whenever I'm reading an email, and even sometimes whenever I'm reading comments on YouTube, although I would say my emails are way more detailed than most people are not very vulnerable on YouTube when they do comments. But whenever they share emails, they go into a lot of detail where you can like feel, like you can feel exactly what they're saying. It's like they're, it's like you are in their presence and they're telling you what, you know, how they feel. And so there's been lots of times where I started reading the email and I basically just had to like stop reading it. And I had to like come back to it later, 'cause I was like, I don't have the energy to be able to do that. And sometimes it's just a little bit overwhelming. And so that's where I have to be consciously aware of myself, and then, you know, hey, I can't do it right now. Let me just put this down and just come back to it later on. And so, it's like, it's almost like whenever I'm in a room with people or, sometimes you just get drained by just being around people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have to really be consciously aware of that too, because, sometimes it's not whenever you're just, interacting with somebody on a one-on-one basis. It can be just you being in the room with them.
Mm-hmm. Sure enough. We've all been in a room with somebody that's an energy thug, right? An energy vampire.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and that's the thing. And it don't have to be even associating with you in the room. You could be in a room with a group of people and they're not talking to you, but you're just in there and you can feel their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a very overwhelming.
I wanted to ask you, as a masculine light worker, talking about things like telepathy and downloads and guides and ascended masters, what has your experience been out in the world of masculine, like in the bro world? Do you talk about this?
Oh, you mean like in everyday life, like around like my friends or something like that?
Yeah. Or in the workplace with other masculine coworkers or, anything.
I was really kind of worried about that because, I work in a very masculine type place. But, it's funny because nobody's ever really asked me about anything. And most people don't even bring it up. It's like I'm like, you have to know that I'm like, maybe you've seen me on YouTube but nobody ever has approached me so far. I mean, I might have had like one or two people say something to me, but then after I talk to them, then they don't bring it up after that.
Okay.
And so,
that's cool.
I guess they just let me do what I'm doing, and they just, I don't know. I never really ask anybody either because, when I'm in a professional environment, if somebody brings it up and asks me, then I'll talk to them about it. But for the most part, it's really not been discussed. I think whenever I first started is whenever I had a couple people stumble across my channel and ask me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not been a bad experience, but that is one of the things that, in the beginning that I was like, I don't know, it's because it was very vulnerable and, mm-hmm. people like, not that I really care about being different, but like, I didn't want people thinking that I was like crazy or anything like that. But then
mm-hmm.
after a while, I ended up evolving even more. So, I mean, I evolve all the time, like anybody else, and I go through transformations, which I just got done going through a transformation this past summer. So, I mean, and when I was going through evolving, I got to a point where I didn't really even care what anybody thought, and I didn't really care, it didn't really matter to me anymore. So I went from, the initial stages of the infant stages of all these different thoughts going through my head to basically get to a point where I just don't care. I'm like, well, if they say something, whatever. I'm like, that's just how they feel. And that's their own opinion. You're entitled to your own beliefs, and I respect your beliefs. And if you respect my beliefs, then I respect you.
Yeah.
So
when you've come through the dark night of soul multiple times, certain things become less important,
It does. Well, honestly, that dark night. I really felt when I was going through that dark night of soul that, I felt like I was dying, basically. I mean, that's what mm-hmm. I felt like. I mean, I don't know what death feels like, but, like, I felt like that. If I didn't change something, that I was going to be not here very long. So, I remember it was an experience that it was just very painful. That's the only way I can explain it.
Mm-hmm. Raw pain, I tell you what. I have really just enjoyed getting to know the personal side behind, again, you're very personal on your channel, so I can't, I guess it's kind of like you get to know a person and so much as you can through what they present in public. And because you do speak like without any, you know, you're not doing a TED talk, you know what I'm saying? Like you're delivering a message, but you're not like in a suit and prepared with remarks and a PowerPoint. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I'm going to tell you what I just got in my meditation and this is what you need to do with it. So because you do have that personal raw sharing of yourself, I got to know you, but this gives me more insight to the man behind the persona, if you will. Now, for people who want to connect with you, your YouTube channel is King Trident's Tribe. And on Instagram, now you've got some underscores. It's at King underscore Trident's underscore Tribe, I think is how it is, correct? And do you have a Facebook page?
Okay, so that's one social media that I will not be a part of. I closed my Facebook, I call it Fakebook, but anyway, I closed that like a couple of years ago. Actually, whenever I started this journey of my YouTube channel, is I think that was roughly the time I never wanted to have Facebook again. So I do have Instagram, YouTube. I do have Pinterest. I have Twitter, and I recently
on Pinterest. I have to check you out.
Yeah,
on Pinterest.
I'm on Pinterest. I share my quotes on Pinterest.
Oh, okay.
So I share them also on Instagram, but I also post them to Pinterest because some people prefer Pinterest. So I post them there too for other people that maybe don't go to Instagram or whatever. So I post them there, and then most recently I am on TikTok, and I do tips of the day. Sometimes I post every other day, and then sometimes I post daily. But I also post them to Instagram too. So I try to like post as many places as I can, and and it just some people prefer different social medias to others. So and it also helps me with branching out to other people that maybe I'm not attracting on Instagram or so. But one of the things that I before we cut this or we leave or whatever, I would say one of the things that probably a lot of people should concentrate on is doing things in love and being and having unconditional love. That's one of the things that I've learned through my journey. And one of the things that helped me with connecting to so many people is that that I do everything in love. And whenever you do everything in love, then you start attracting people because, you know, even if you have to tell somebody something that you don't really want to tell them, but you're doing it in love, it's a lot different than if you're doing it from your ego or doing it from a position of hate or any other kind of negative energy.
Right.
And so that's one thing that I learned. And I think that's, for me, that's, I get this constantly through messages is, you know, you change the world with love, and love is really an energy that's within every single person, and it's very powerful. And you know, sometimes, you know, it just takes you saying, you know, walking through a door, you know, and holding a door open for somebody, and just saying, hey man, I hope you have a good day, and really meaning it, and you might just change that person's life.
Oh, absolutely. You'd never know. I used to do an experiment when I would walk down the streets of Atlanta from the sub-MARTA to the building that I worked in. It was a couple blocks, bustling street. I would put myself in a bubble of just pure love, testing the bubble theory, right? And as I would walk down the sidewalk, then I would watch to see when people encountered my field, and it was generally not when they were real close up on me, they were still several feet away. Sometimes people would look up from their phone. It was like they would come out of their distraction and then they would look up and then they would like be present and then got to have the opportunity to exchange a smile or a nod with them. But I would literally do an experience to see if people could feel my energy as I was walking down the street, and they could, you know. It was like a cool little experience for myself about frequency and how we can affect people, you know. It's really hard to not love people. A lot of us, the only reason we don't give love and share love is because we're wounded. But love is really such a natural state of being.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's so many times where, you know, I attract different people just because I'm in that energy and they just feel very comfortable coming. And they'll talk. I mean, I remember one of my first experiences I ever had with a person just coming up and just telling me things like that. I'm like, you don't even know me or anything. And it was the energy that I was exuding, and they felt it, and they must felt comfortable to be able to tell me. So, I mean, long story short, I went to a convenience store, and I seen this girl. She wasn't doing very well. Like, I could tell something was really wrong. And, you know, I was like, hey, you know, is everything all right? You know, are you having a bad day? And then she just kind of, what I would say is not in a bad way, but emotionally vomited. She just was like, this and this happened. And I was assaulted, and I did, you know, and all these different things. And I'm like, I wasn't expecting to hear that or anything like that. And I was like, so then I was just like, did you call law enforcement, and did you do this? And then I told her, I said, I'm going to pray for you. Everything's going to be all right. The angels are surrounding you. Just stay calm and pray. And I never seen her after that, so I don't know what happened, but that was one of my first experiences that I ever had, and it was a bit overwhelming, but I have these experiences all the time. I mean, it's really the energy. Energy attracts people. It attracts people that are positive. It attracts people that are negative, and you have to learn how to be able to be consciously aware of these people's energy. And so I always just concentrate. I don't concentrate on what somebody's really saying to me. I concentrate I concentrate on their soul, and I concentrate on the energy that I'm feeling, because their energy speaks words to me.
Right. Yeah, that is so key. It's interesting because a lot of teachings will say, well, if you're positive, you attract positive. If you're negative, you attract negative. But you just said, like, you attract both. If you're positive, you still will attract negative. Now, that's different from, like, your vibrational experience of positivity. But you will attract negative energies to you because of polarity. So you mentioned being discerning, being important, and being healthy and self-caring and having good boundaries when you're doing this work because it is emotionally involved.
It is. Like I said before, it can be extremely draining. It's very gratifying, but it can be very draining if you're not aware of your boundaries. And, if you're trying, like I was at this point whenever I initially started, where I was like, I'm going to help everybody. And then I was just got to the point where I drained myself so often that I was like, there's times where I would have breaks in my YouTube videos where I'm like, I can't post, and it'd be weeks before I could even post again. And then I learned how to manage that. And, whenever I'm talking about attract negative, it doesn't mean that the person is actually a bad person. It just means that they have inner work that they need to do, but they basically have to feel it to heal it. They have to do it on their own time. And you can't, like I said before, you can't change a person unless they want to change. But, one thing that I do is oftentimes I will, like if somebody comes up to me, I'm not going to shoo them away. I'll listen to them. And I just feel their energy, and I concentrate on their energy. And then I will do whatever I can to help them. But I do know that I can't help every single person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also wanted to know, now this is two side little notes here. So I do know that you like music, and it seems to me like you're on a Beatles roll. Is that like your favorite band?
I think I go in phases. So it's like,
okay. You just been on Beatles like the last week or so.
Yeah, well, no, I think it goes with like, I don't know. I think it goes with really the years. So for a while, I was listening to a lot of Michael Jackson and like the whole year. And that's where I would get my messages from. And then most recently, when did I start? I just started listening to the Beatles. Like the music came on and I got these messages. And I was like, and then I started listening more and more and more. So I would say that I'm a music connoisseur. I don't dislike, okay, well, maybe I'm not into like, well, actually I resonate more with older music. So I resonate with like Michael Jackson, Beatles, let's see, old R&B, like Marvin Gaye. I like that kind of stuff. So like people always think that, I mean, my kids, they're like, Dad, can we listen to something else? And I'm like, no. I'm like, this music is good music, man. I'm like, but I listen to more older music, and that's where I, there's a lot of good messages and that people might not pick up on from those songs. And and so I would probably say, I don't know, probably a year. So I think October of last year is whenever I really started like listening to the Beatles. And so I'm coming up on a year of Beatles. And but I do listen to other music besides that too. It's just that a lot of times I'll be driving or I'll be doing something and a song will come on. I'm like, yeah, that explains exactly this situation or what's going on right now. And so I just share it.
Yeah, and I always listen because I'm like, oh, okay, all right, thanks, Spirit. That was a good message. Thanks. You know, like it gives me a little insight to something going on. And so I just know Beatles. I was like, Beatles. Okay. I mean, you posted other songs, no doubt. But I was like, well, do you have a Beatles thing? But now I get it. You know, when I get off the show, I'm going to go into my animal oracle and see what the beetle symbolizes. I'm going to send you a direct message on Instagram, okay?
I always welcome those, those messages. And whenever I read them, I'm like, it just makes me feel real good. I love it. And, I initially started doing this, like I was like, no, don't DM me on IG, but once I started building my energy up and my boundaries and being able to manage my energy, I've grown fond of the DMs that I get on IG, and I no longer, because I mean I love it. People like send me stuff, and they comment on my stories, and you know sometimes the things that I post a lot of times, especially songs, helps other people. And they respond to my stories, and it's just like, hey man, maybe I didn't deliver a message on YouTube, or maybe it wasn't a quote, but that song might have just helped somebody. So and music is, you know, music is healing for the soul. You know, there's two things, man, is laughter and music. Those two things heal the soul.
Yes. And the other thing that feels the soul is food. And I will say, if you all happen to follow, I've seen some pretty tasty concoctions coming out of your grill, out of your kitchen. Like, I think you did these mahi tacos or something at some point. But I love that because you're out there. A, you can see that your food choices, like, are healthy and delicious, right? You're cooking, yeah. So you're like integrated, no gender polarity, you know, and you're not cooking ramen,
yeah.
You're cooking like regular meals. But I will say I do love the fact that you share your meals and stuff like that. I mean, how many of us do that on
yeah.
Instagram? You know, I love seeing you doing your thing.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, yeah, I agree with you. You know, one thing that I learned, because, I mean, I did grow up in the Carolinas, and most of my family's from there. You know, my grandma taught me that food brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
And so it brings people together, and then it heals people too. And so I also do barbecue, and I'm a big barbecue
mm-hmm.
connoisseur. And I do have another Instagram account. It's called Bubba's Mouth Smacking Q, and that's going to be my barbecue venture one of these days. I'm going to open up a restaurant. But I have a bunch of pictures of my barbecue on there, and you know, and my smoker, and
okay, you
I enjoy cooking.
That. Bubba's what?
It's Bubba's Mouth Smacking Q.
Bubba's Mouth Smacking Q. That's cute.
Yeah.
Oh, I see
yeah.
you got some hashtags here. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to connect with you after the show because, of course, you know, I food porn is great.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And that's you know, I don't stick to just one different, you know, one food. I do lots of different food. I love all kinds of food. I love different cultures. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't think I have one food that I cook everything. I mean, you know, I really love Indian food. It makes my stomach feel so good. Just the different spices like the turmeric and, you know,
mm-hmm.
the masala, and I just love it all, man. And so, but I do like doing barbecue a lot. Yeah, feel free to check out my Instagram. I would love that, you know.
I just found it. It's BUBBAS _MTH _SMKN _Q. So we'll
yeah,
have all the links to those places where you can connect with Matt in the description box of the YouTube version of this, and then also in the show notes for this episode out on all the other forums, so that you can connect with Matt in the future. What is your email address? You receive email requests, you said, with the letters. How can people reach you like that?
It's kingtrashtribe@gmail.com.
Okay. And as you heard him say, he does answer. Even if it don't come into a client relationship, you might get a little response. That's very, very kind of you to take time to acknowledge that people have sent you these messages. And I hope that people who hear this session and this interview at some point in the future will be led to you to continue to do work in whatever form of healing you will be helping people with in the future.
Absolutely. I'm very grateful. Like I said before, I'm very grateful for you inviting me on your show, for one, and I'm very grateful to have the ability to be able to help people. And yeah, as you mentioned, I do answer all emails. And I try to put as much detail into those emails. It's not just, you know, a couple sentence
right.
response. I do try to put a lot of energy into those emails, no matter if they're a paying client or not. So,
mm-hmm.
But that just shows how grateful I am for having given me the opportunity to be able to assist you.
Well, I know, let me just tell you that I've never been a paying client, but I have watched your messages and seen your posts, and I have been improved, elevated, empowered, and I felt the love in every word that I read and everything that you said. So I see you for sure, my brother.
Yeah, you're my soul sister.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a great conversation. This is a Psychic Inside show, and I will be back on next Tuesday with another guest. I have Amy Catherine lined up. She's a local Atlanta psychic intuitive astrologer. I mean, her list goes on and on. So I think that she is next week, and then I think Essence Turner is the week after that. I don't know. We've got several shows lined up for the next 3 or 4 weeks, and more guests are being booked even as I have each episode go through the queue. I've got somebody lined up to have these amazing conversations. And Matt, thank you for sharing of yourself on this show, and I encourage each of you to please reach out to him, get a little bit of that healing King Trident energy, join his tribe, and of course we're here with the Good Vibe Tribe, and the vibe attracts the tribe always. So Matt, is there anything last word you wanted to share with people?
Yeah, well, I'd just like to say, you know, once again, thank you. And then also, you know, I always tell people, it's not my tribe, it's our tribe. And the same thing with yours. I know that you feel probably the same way. So we make the tribe together. It's not my tribe. I don't own it. I just bring people together, kind of like food does.
Yes, yes. So we're one collective galactic tribe when it comes down to it. So thank you, Matt. For each of you that have tuned in this evening, I thank you for spending this time. And those of you that catch us on the podcast replays, subscribe. Catch the next episodes. Catch up on the back episodes. Like I said, I've got at least 40 interviews that I've done over the years. And it's amazing what people share and what their journey looks like. And I just invite you to share those experiences that they have recorded with me over a period of time. For each of you, know that this week, I hope that you receive all of the blessings that you can possibly hold. And those blessings, when they spill out from your arms, they will overflow and bless the world around you. The light in me absolutely honors the light in you. Namaste.